Good morning, Prestonwood. Come on, stand up. Let's get the blood flowing. Here we go.
I once had a heart that was dead in the grave, bound in the darkness, a powerless slave. Then heaven reached down from the cross to my soul. Hell started to shake and it had to let go.
All right, come on.
I'll never get over it. I'll never get over it. I was dead in my sin, but your love wouldn't quit, and I'll never get over it.
Oh yeah!
I once was a prisoner from sin's heavy chain. For a debt I could never repay. Then out of the grave with a great victory, he shattered those chains and he set me free.
Come on.
I'll never get over it. I'll never get over it. I was dead in my sin, but your love wouldn't quit, and I'll never get over it.
Thankful today.
Well, shame is a prison as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber and he's come to take my name. Oh, love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. And love is the power where my freedom song is found. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise up out of the ground. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
All right, do you believe it?
And oh, fear is a lie. With a smooth and velvet tongue, the fear is a tyrant. He's always telling me to run. Oh, love is a resurrection, and love is a trumpet sound.
Come on, come on. Listen, I don't know what brought you in here this morning, but if you're not awake right now, somebody needs to throw an elbow into you, okay? Good morning. Yeah, my name is Michael Perrin. Welcome to Prestonwood. Welcome to those of you who are joining online. Take a seat for just a minute. Couple things before we get going here. I know it's hard to sit down after that song, isn't it? Listen, I don't know what grave, maybe that, what that tombstone might be written right now over your life. I don't know if it's loneliness, maybe addiction, could be fear, could be anxiety, could be just feeling displaced in life. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, because of his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his enthronement, we have a right as children of God to walk out of that grave. Amen? Amen. All right. Again, welcome to all of you who have joined us here this morning, who are joining us online. If this is your first time with us, we'd love to tell you a little bit more about this Jesus who helps us walk out of our grave. If you'll take your phones and you will text the word guest to 74788, we'll have somebody follow up with you. And we'll pray with you. We'll give you some information about the church and how, again, you can learn more about this person, this friend that we have called Jesus Christ. If you walked in and you're present here this morning, you saw the planes and the balloons and the clouds and everything else taking place out in the atrium. What that is about is the thing that we have called Adventure Week. Adventure Week, formerly known as Vacation Bible School for some of you, is an event where we have, well, we'll probably have, only about 5,000 children running around this church learning about this person, Jesus Christ. And the reason why we can do that, the reason why some of you could do that in a church where you were growing up, is because of the faithful giving of the people in that church. We practice a thing here called an intergenerational consciousness, meaning we recognize there's another generation that is coming up that needs to know about Jesus, that needs to know about the power and the authority and the relationship that we can have with Christ. And it's because of the faithful giving of people just like you, people sitting in the audience today, that we can continue this on. If none of that made any sense to you and you still have questions, you can stop by Guest Central and we will be happy to get you more information about our church, about the ministries, and how you can come into knowing this person, this friend, this Savior, this tombstone kicking over person that we know as Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you that there is no grave, there is no diagnosis, there is no label that can keep us down because of what you have done. You rose, you ascended, you're enthroned. And God, because of our relationship with you, so are we as you are currently. And so God, as we continue to worship, as we continue to lift up your name, as we settle our hearts, speak to us, for your children are listening. We love you, Lord. Amen. Michael.
So good to be with you today in the house of the Lord. It's such a sacred thing that we get to do, come together and sing to him. Like that first song says, I'll never get over it. Never get over it. And I love the fact that we're talking about all the generations coming together. I'm very grateful for the generations in my life, in my home, where we sang old songs of the faith. And I remember hearing, even as a little child, songs of hope rise up, you know, in the home. And as one of your worship pastors here, all of us, Caleb and all the team, what we're here to do every week is not to entertain you, although we have a lot of fun. We're here to prayerfully help you encounter God, because he wants to meet with us, and we have to redirect our attention sometimes to remember, oh yeah, the Almighty King of the universe is in this place. I don't want to miss a moment. So if you came in here discouraged today or just needing a little hope, maybe you're riding a big victory today. That's great too. The presence of God is here. This is a song that I used to hear coming up
and you probably know it.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? And why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. And I see because I'm happy, and I see because I'm free. Oh, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches you and me. And I know He watches you and me. Oh, I know He watches you and me. I know He watches me.
You are here, touching every heart I worship. You know it. You are here, healing it. I worship you. You are here Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Death would be the cost. gave it all for victory.
Amen. 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 Can we give God praise together? Amen. How many know that the grave can't hold us down? Only Jesus. He is the reason that we are here. Amen. Yeah. Well, my name is Scott Turner, and I serve as part of the preaching team here at Prestonwood, and I'm honored to stand before you this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So I greet you in the name of the Lord, those that are here and those that are watching online, so grateful that God brought us together. Pastor Jeremiah Johnson brought a wonderful message in the 9:30 service that I learned so much from John chapter 11, and I hope that you get an opportunity to go listen to that. You know, I was sitting and I was thinking about how, you know, when you're talking to people, you know, sometimes you talk to people and you're being real serious and you're looking at them right in the eyes and you're pouring your heart out to them and they're looking at you and they're staring at you and you're sharing all these details, but you know they're not paying attention. They're saying, uh-huh, and really, and wow, all at the wrong time. Anybody know anybody like that? Now, I know no one in here or online is that person. Or maybe you are, but anyway, this term, attention, I looked it up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, and I often encourage you when I look a definition up to go get that dictionary. It's a great dictionary. Attention means this: the act of attending or heeding, the due application of the ear to sounds or the mind to objects presented to its contemplation. Literally, it means a stretching towards. All of us in here this morning can agree that distractions are all around us, amen? We get distracted by our phones. We get distracted by our thoughts, sometimes daydreaming. We get distracted by people kindly interrupting us while we're doing something. We get distracted by the TV or noise or chatter that's going on around us. We get distracted by losing focus of the task at hand. How many times have you picked up your phone or at your computer to send a text message or an email, and within a millisecond, you are distracted doing something else? Is that only me? We have issues in staying focused. I read an article, a study by Michael Zigarelli, who is at Messiah University in Pennsylvania. He did a study that took 5 years, over 20,000 Christians, ages 15 to 88 in 139 countries. And he called it the Obstacles of Growth Survey. And he found that more than 4 in 10 Christians around the world say they often or always are rushing from one task to another. The busy life or busyness was found to be a distraction for the people of God all over the world. Zigarelli was quoted saying this: the accelerated pace and activity level of the modern day distracts us from God and separates us from the abundant, joyful, victorious life He desires for us. He described this problem amongst Christians as a vicious cycle prompted by cultural conformity. How many know the Bible says, do not be conformed to the ways of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus? He says this: it may be the case that Christians are assimilating to the culture of busyness and hurry and overload, which leads to God becoming more marginalized in Christians' lives, which leads to a deterioration relationship with God, which leads to Christians becoming even more vulnerable to adopting secular assumptions about how to live, which in turn leads to more conformity to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload. Then the cycle begins all over again. He suggests that we break this cycle by reordering our thoughts, by the way we think about God and who He really is and how He wants us to live our life. I give him a big amen to that study. When you think about from the growth standpoint in our relationship with Jesus, busyness or a lack of focus can cause us as believers to miss what God is doing because we're not paying attention. We're not paying careful attention. We're not stretching towards the heart and the mind of God. Each of us, me included, need to pay attention to what God is doing in and around us. Now, church family, this takes a certain amount of discipline and focus, especially with your time. And I believe that God does care deeply about what we do with the time that He has given us. The title of this message this morning is, Are You Paying Attention? Turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15 through 17. Are you paying attention? When you get to Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, say amen, like they did in the old church. It says this, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. There's 3 points that I want to share this morning if you're taking notes. Number one, walk wisely. Number two, make good use of your time. And number three, understand God's will for your life. To walk wisely or to walk carefully, this means to walk accurately with precision. The King James Bible says this, see then that you walk circumspectly. This means in a careful or a prudent way, careful to consider all circumstances and consequences. Oftentimes in our life, we tend to just live and not pay attention to what we are doing or how we're going about our life, not paying close enough attention to what the Lord is calling you and I to do. Oftentimes, we tend not to live with accuracy and precision. For example, we make decisions based on emotions. Y'all got quiet on that one. That's okay. I'm going to keep preaching it. We make decisions based on emotions, how we feel at that particular time. And I know that this is probably truer for the men than it is for the women. Matter of fact, I know it's truer for us men because I am he. According to my wife, my beautiful wife, Robin, I can sometimes make emotional decisions. I say, well, honey, I really like this one. Or I like that. I think that we should move forward with this decision. I feel good about, y'all heard many times I said feel. I feel good about this one. When I was younger in the NFL, I used to go to the car dealership a lot. Now, I'm making a confession. I'm being real transparent to y'all. And I had friends in the car business. And I would go to the dealership and I would bring cars home to my wife because I felt good about it. And I would call her on the way home and I would say, honey, come outside. I have something to show you. And she would peek her head out of the door and she would say, take it back. I thank God for my wife. You know, honey, I was thinking about that over the last 25 years. I've only had 3 cars. I didn't tell you how many I had before then, but anyway, we make emotional decisions. And my wife would always say, we got to get the mind of the Lord. And I know that sounds cliche and it sounds religious, it sounds Christian, but it's true. We have to get the mind of the Lord in the decisions that we make. It's not about how we feel. Can I get a witness? Amen. It's not about how we feel. Do you have the mind of the Lord? And 10 times out of 10, that is the correct answer. Do you have the mind of the Lord? It has to be well thought out. It has to be put before the God with precision and accuracy in your thinking. Then there are times we make decisions based upon what other people will think about us or what's popular or what's trendy, what's going on, how's it going to make me look, how's it going to make me feel, instead of making a decision on what God is calling you to do. We tend to do the same thing in our Christian walk. We live careless instead of careful. We live thoughtless instead of thoughtful. We make decisions that are not based on sound counsel or godly wisdom or direction. Y'all remember in Jeremiah 29 and 11, it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. We as believers, we must walk carefully. We must walk circumspectly, not in fear, not in trepidation, but in wisdom, paying close attention to what the Lord is doing. Remember, God is the one that has the blueprint for your life. We have to be very observant and attentive to how he's moving in our life. but it requires us spending time with him. It requires us getting in his presence. In order to know what God is doing in your life, it requires you spending time before him on your knees in prayer. It requires spending time in the divine, in the word of God. It requires you spending time with other believers, encouraging one another, praying for one another, discerning the will of the Lord. Remember, the Bible says that the word of the Lord is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto my pathway. How many want your pathway to be lit by the word of God? Amen. Are you spending time with him in his word to discern what he's calling you to in this season of your life? Don't just live haphazardly or carelessly without thought and precision and attentiveness to what God is doing. God speaks through the Holy Spirit. He speaks through his word. He speaks through other believers. And he speaks through the circumstances of our life. But the question for you and for me is, are we paying attention? Are we in close enough communion with the Lord Jesus to see him at work and recognize his direction in our life? Rick Warren was quoted saying, we often miss hearing God's voice simply because we're not paying attention. Henry Nguyen, a Dutch theologian, he said this, pay attention to the people God puts in your path if you want to discern what God is up to in your life. How many know as believers that it is so important that we pay attention to who God is bringing around us? Remember, God can speak through our circumstances, through other believers that he places around us in our life. Look at verse 15. Again, it says, look carefully then how you walk or how you live. When we consider this word walk in the Bible, we think about put one foot in front of another, to move from one place to the next, to go from point A to point B, theoretically speaking. And it's important what we do from point to point, from step to step in our life. Don't just walk to walk, but walk with a purpose. Move intentionally. When I was a rookie in the NFL, I played for the Washington Redskins at this time, and I trained with a gentleman. His name was Daryl Green. He was an older player. He was a seasoned player. He was an all-pro player. He's also from Houston, Texas. He was old school in his approach to working out. He didn't like to go in the weight room a lot. He didn't like to lift the heavy weights. He said it made him too bulky. He didn't want to walk around constrained. He wanted to be free and be able to move. And so he chose to run hills. Has anybody in here ever ran a hill before? I'm not going to ask you how big the hill was. I mean, that's for you and the Lord. But if you ran hills, let me see you. Well, he liked to run on the hills. And there was a particular hill at the George Mason University in Virginia. And Daryl Green started to take me with him to this hill. I really didn't know what I was getting into. He would show me the drills. He would say, you stand right here and watch. Pay attention to what I do. And he would show me the drills and how I was to run them, how I was to turn, how I was to move. And then we would commence our training. And it was like I forgot everything that he said. I would get on that hill and go as fast as I could, do as many reps as I could. And finally, I started getting on his nerves. He said, stop. He said, it's not about the quantity. It's about the quality that we are focusing on here. In other words, don't just run to run. Don't just backpedal to backpedal. Be intentional on getting the exact technique, step by step, turn by turn, everything with a purpose and an expected goal. He said, be precise, be accurate. And then after we would burn about 1,000 calories, we would go to Popeye's Chicken and get a two-piece dinner. I told you he was old school. Not like they do today. They have chefs for these players today. I see some young players over here. I see y'all looking at me too We didn't have chefs back then. We had to go to Popeyes. But anyway, glad for our young men of God to be in the house of God today. Amen. Are you being precise and exact with your actions? Are you being careful with your words and meticulous with your decisions? Are you living intentionally with the end in mind and with a divine purpose? Remember, God created us for a specific purpose. Look at Psalm 139, 13 through 16. It says this, "For you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." God formed each of us, every man, every woman, every child, very carefully, meticulously, with intentionality. He made good use of the time when he formed you, when he formed me. He did not waste time. He made you with a specific purpose. So why would we live without living for a purpose? Why would we, knowing, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the psalm, that God knit me together in my mother's womb. He intricately wove me together in my mother's womb. He had a purpose. He had a goal. He was intentional. So why would I, knowing that God has made me this way, live without purpose, live without the end in mind, live thoughtlessly and carelessly, and not taking care of my temple and spending time with God? Why would we do that, knowing that God Almighty, the creator of the heaven and earth, knit you together in the very womb of your mother with a specific purpose in mind? Why would we do it? Got to pay closer attention and remember who God is. And remember how he made you, that he has a specific purpose. For if you don't know Jesus today, we just read how the Father God knit you in your mother's womb. I'm gonna get off in just a second. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you have been through. It doesn't matter your tongue, your color, your creed. Jesus knit you together in the womb of your mother. You are here on purpose. Carefully, he made you. When God knit you together in your mother's womb, I could just see the face of God smiling. This is mine. He made you with a smile on his face. Don't let the enemy keep you. Don't let your past rob you. Don't let what happened this morning stop you from knowing Jesus. You're here. Amen?
Amen.
Let's do something with it. He made you for a purpose. Let's live like it. He took the time to weave you in your mother's womb. Let's do something with the purpose and intention for which God made us. I'm speaking this to myself too. Walk wisely, not unwisely. Live as a wise man. Live as a wise woman, not as an unwise or an unwise man or woman. What does it mean to be wise? It means to show experience or knowledge or good judgment. As Christians, for us to walk wisely, it means this, that we ought to walk according to the relationship that we have with Christ. Walking wisely means that we have experienced true conversion, true repentance, that there is fruit in our life that lines up with who and what we say we are. I'm going to say that again. I kind of like that sentence. That there is fruit in our life because we are walking according to true conversion, true repentance, in accordance to who we say we are and what we are. To walk wisely as a Christian means that we live in such a way that we have the knowledge of who Christ is in our life. We know him, we know who he is, and we know who we are in him. Does that make sense? We have the knowledge of what his word says, of who he is and who we are in him, and what his word says about how we ought to live in him. Note, as I said, what the word says and not what TikTok says, not what Instagram says, not what people say, not what the world says, not what the flesh says, not what the government says, but what the word of God says. Are y'all with it? That's how we are to live. When we know what God's word says and we live this way, we have good judgment and we make godly decisions. I read a study from a gentleman named Lionel Windsor. He lectures at Moore College in the New Testament, and he said this about walking wisely. We learn a lot about wisdom in Ephesians. The wise person understands that Christ is risen and victorious and rules all things. The wise person understands that God has an unstoppable plan to bring all things under the headship of Christ. The wise person understands that God is achieving this plan through the gospel being preached and believed. And yet the wise man, the wise woman, also understands that this goal is not yet complete. The days that we live in are still evil. We live in a world where there is rebellion against God. But this rebellion is temporary. This rebellion is passing away. The wrath of God is coming on the children of disobedience, as it says in Ephesians 5 and 6. Christ rules. So the truly wise person will live appropriately. The wise person will not follow what the world calls wisdom. The wise person will not live life for the moment. The wise person will not get caught up in pleasure and sensuality, chasing after comfort or advancement or career. Rather, the wise man, the wise woman will understand that the world is Christ-shaped in the biggest sense and will live appropriately. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 3, 13 and 14 says, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and a profit better than gold." May we all live as wise men and wise women in God. Ephesians 5, 16 says, "Make the best use of your time because the days are evil." When you think about making the best use of your time, what comes to your mind? I want you to ponder that. The Bible says, make the best use of your time. What comes to your mind? Here are a few things that I thought when we think about what makes the best use of our time. Always being busy or having something to do. Even if that is having a to-do list, every hour of your day is accounted for. It's filled. I often hear people say, "I'm busy with this or I'm busy with that." And we've all been there. Because sometimes I think we've been duped into thinking that every hour of our day must be filled with busyness, with busy work, with a to-do list, with something to do, a task here or a task there. As that study said, even as believers, more than 4 out of 10 are rushing from task to task, duty to duty, thing to thing. But when you think about it, as a matter of fact, if we're always busy and have a full to-do day, when and how are we paying attention to what the Lord is saying? Are you with me? Is God your to-do list? Is he in the midst of your task for the day? If we're so busy with all of these things going on in our life, moving from place to place, task to task, thought to thought, person to person, where's God? Where are we paying attention to what he's saying and what he is doing? If we're always busy answering emails and text messages and on Zoom calls, or some of y'all might use Teams or Google, whatever you have. If we're always busy doing that, then we're probably not carefully watching how we live. But instead, we're getting caught up in following the wisdom of the world. Some would even say that a good use of my time is just relaxing or being happy and comfortable. If that's your ultimate goal, if that's my ultimate goal, then you and I are spending our time just being comfortable and relaxing. If that's our goal, then we are not living as wise men and wise women. Remember, the Apostle Paul reminded us in Ephesians that the days are evil. There's no time to just relax or just chill or smell the roses, if you will. I'm not saying here that we don't take time to rest. We are commanded to rest. We are commanded to take a Sabbath, but it is the lifestyle, the mindset of just chilling, just relaxing, just being comfortable. God has not called us so that these days are indeed evil. This is a clarion call, a call to urgency that the men and women of God take time to use the best use of the time that God has given us. The real enemy is here, the devil, the flesh, and the world. These enemies are real. That is not made up. That is not fake. It is in the Bible. The devil prowls around seeking whom he can devour. That shall not, it will not be us, because we are not living as wise men and women of God. Amen. Make the best use of your time. Actively growing in your walk with the Lord. This is a daily, day by day by day activity. Spending time with Jesus. On your knees before him. Listening to the will and the presence and the word and the promises and experiencing the power of God. Amen. That's using your time wisely. Get focused. Have a plan. We got to stop daydreaming. We got to stick to the mission that God has called us on. Now, y'all, as Christians, we have some of the most imaginative minds because God gave it to us. Use it for his glory. It's good to dream, but it's not always good to be in a daydreaming state. There's work to do. Are you with me? I'm preaching to myself. Paul says to be wise, and that this wisdom is calling us as believers to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says redeem the time, to redeem or to reclaim means this: to buy back something that has been lost. If you redeem something or you reclaim it, you buy back something that has been lost, and you use it for good. As Christians, this is what we need to do with the time that God has given us in this world. The time that has been lost because of our disobedience. The time that we've lost because of ungodly and hopeless living. Think about it. Think about the times in your life before Christ, before you were truly submitted to him, and even maybe right now. Think about the times that have been wasted in sin, disobedience, and hopelessness. And you may be here this morning, and you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be living in disobedience. You may be still living in sin and hopelessness. Well, praise the Lord that you're here. This is your day. An opportunity to have a new life in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, 12 and 13 says, remember at the time You were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen. Amen. Church family, there was a time in the life of every believer that we were separated from Jesus, that we were lost, living without hope, living without the promises of God's word. Some call this BC, before Christ. But now, because of the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary's cross, he gave us an opportunity to repent, to turn away from our sin, and to surrender all to him as Lord and Savior. We are no longer separated, but we have been brought near to Jesus and relationship with him by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Glory be to God. As a result of this, of the precious blood that Jesus shed, you and I are to live wisely by redeeming the time and using it to live for God, for his purposes, rather than for selfish gain and the futile purposes of the world. Because God has brought us near by the blood of Jesus, let's use the time that God has given us to live for his purposes and not the purposes of the world. These are indeed evil days. The perversity, the carnality, the evil in our world and in our culture, it's all around us. The unrestrained activities and deeds of people around this world, the people in the society that are lost, that don't know Jesus, the carelessness, the evil. I don't want to prolong this. I don't want to pontificate. You all know what I mean and what I'm saying. There's no question that the days that we live in are evil. The Bible clearly states that. But I'm not discouraged. I'm not blind. I'm not oblivious to what's going on. But I stand before you as God in heaven, as my witness. I'm not discouraged. I'm not dismayed, because we serve a mighty, we serve an awesome, we serve a sovereign and supreme God. Amen. And that's who we live for. That's who we redeem the time for. We use the time that God has given us. We redeem the time that God has given us to live for him. Run after Jesus with everything that you have. We got to use the things of the world and the time that we do have to do the things that really matter to God and to bring him glory. We need to use this time that we have to speak the truth of the gospel in our generation, to unite the body of Christ. How many know that we are the soldiers in the army of salvation that God is calling forth? Use your time to speak the word of God, shouting it from the rooftop. Say, hey, you're lost today, but guess what? Today is a day of God's favor. Today is a day of salvation. You might not know him now, but he knows you. But this day, you can know him, because why? He has meticulously woven you in the womb of your mother. Redeem the time that you do have. How many want to sign up for that fight? I'm in. How about you? If we're going to live, we might as well live for him. He gave us this precious breath of life. What are we going to do with it? He gave us energy. He gave us time. He gave us senses. He gave us each other. Let's unite together and take this message of the gospel to the spheres of influence that God has put you and me in to save the lost. Let's live wisely together. Ask yourself the question as I close. Are you living wisely? Are you sharing your faith? Are you living in the grace and the mercy and the presence and the power of God? How are you spending your time today? How are you walking? Are you walking carefully? Are you walking circumspectly? Are you living intentional? Are you living with the end in mind? If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Scott, I'm saved. And my question is, I'm glad that you're saved. But if you're not living as a wise man and a wise woman, where's the lag? Where's the hole? Take an assessment. Take inventory of your life and be honest and truthful with yourself. Are you fully committed? And if you're not committed, then why? And when God shows you, obey him immediately. If you're here this morning, and you haven't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, the same question is for you. Why not? What's keeping you? All of us need a Savior. There's none righteous. No, not one. Jesus came for the sins of the whole world. Spend time in prayer. Fervently, effectually praying for God to show you what he's doing in your life. Rejoice in the Lord Jesus today. Redeem the time. Live for him. And let God use you in a mighty, mighty way. As we close in verse 17, the Apostle Paul tells Christians at Ephesus, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't just lean on your own understanding, but live by the understanding of God. Don't just live by your emotions, but live thoughtfully. Live committed. Some of you in here might be saying, well, I'm good. I got this. I don't need God. Well, I say to you today, that's foolish thinking. That's foolish living. Don't presume that you're okay. The Apostle Paul said, I have not yet arrived. We have not yet arrived. Y'all, there is work to do. God is still molding us and growing us and shaping us and fashioning us. Let him have his way. Be obedient to God in heaven. Seek him daily. Don't just seek him for his will for your life, but seek him for his will. And then adjust your life to him. Amen. That's living and walking wisely in the Lord and paying attention to what he's doing in your life. Amen. Let's stand together and pray. It's our time of invitation. The gospel has been preached. The word has been taught. If you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus, we want to celebrate you coming to Christ today. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only son, this Jesus that we talked about in the scripture. He gave him just for you. Do you know him for yourself? Jesus wants to be Lord and Savior. And you may be here this morning and say, man, I'm saved. I've accepted Jesus. I've been a Christian for a long time, but I'm not fully committed. Well, we're going to celebrate with you today because you can recommit today. Redeem the time. Maybe you want to join Prestonwood. You've been visiting. You feel God calling you here. We welcome you to be a part of this family of believers. We need you to come be a part. Serve God. Serve people. And fulfill the mission of God in your life. Maybe you want to be baptized in believer's baptism. Come. The altar is open. Maybe you just want to pray today. Our pastors will be down here in the front. Maybe you need prayer that God is speaking to you in your life today. He's convicting you. He's ministering to you. Maybe you need healing spiritually, emotionally, physically. Maybe your marriage is upside down. Whatever it is in your life, believe that God knows every detail. Maybe you just need to pray. The altar is open. Whatever it is in your life, the Lord is with you. And we as your church family, we are with you here today. This is God's house. You are welcome here. This altar is for you. Don't let anything keep you from doing what God is saying to you in your heart right now. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for your time. Lord God, to spend time in fellowship and prayer and teaching and preaching. Lord, I pray you would have your way in the hearts and the minds of these your children. Father, I pray you take away every hindrance, every obstacle, Father, to keep every man and child and woman that you are speaking to, even right now, from coming forward. Father, whether they need to pray, whether they want to accept Jesus as Lord, whether they want to join, Father, whether they need to be baptized, whether they just want to come and fellowship. God, this is your house. This is your altar. And the altar of God is open, Father. Have your way. Holy Spirit of God, move in a powerful way. We surrender all to you. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.